Yesterday, Queen Kunti explained how Krishna is bewildering. Yeah, there's so many contradictions. He's impartial, yet he's partial. He's fear personified, is afraid of him, yet he is afraid of his mother's stick. So many contradictions. He's unborn, yet he's also born. So the most bewildering thing about Krishna is how he is subordinate to his devotees' love, how he's controlled by the love of his devotees. And we heard a lot about the mercy of Krishna yesterday, about different types of mercy. So today, I will ask you, I gave you some homework to see today how Krishna's mercy is coming in your life today and also last night. Did anybody have some experience of Krishna's mercy today that they would like to share with the rest of us? I can give you one example. I'll be the first. Today, I got Krishna's mercy. For the first time, I didn't have to climb the stairs. The lift was working. I didn't have to climb Mount Everest today. Because I came early by the mercy of Krishna and Rupeshwar Prabhu and no traffic. And I got to take the lift instead of climbing. Okay, anybody else got Krishna's mercy? You saw Krishna's mercy in your life today? Yes, okay, we got somebody here. You saw the mercy of Krishna?
Of course, I do have the Krishna's mercy coming in my life. I really can't imagine being Krishna's consciousness or discipline without the mercy. As we all know that all the twinkling diamonds who think Krishna the superior and follows his puja talks are capable of getting mercy. On reading my truth, actually I was the most talented and received a big life, but I was the service motivated. I was always concerned with the one who doesn't have, not the one who has. Similarly, I was positive and was concerned with all the personality development. And hence, Krishna creates a mercy on me, swapping my other rusted personality to a real and spiritual one.
Oh, very good.
Give me a mercy on the aspect sectors of my life, itself as economic aspect, moral aspect, psychological and the physical one. Therefore, I am standing here, now unveiling my awesome truth because of the mercy of the only Godhead, Krishna. Still, I guarantee that I have a mercy on Krishna to bring ahead Krishna's conscious movement and fulfilling the words as well as family's responsibility.
Oh, thank you very much. We had a whole speech on Krishna's mercy here. Thank you. Very nice. Yeah, so you realize that the real mercy is not the economic development. So Krishna's mercy has changed your whole view of life. That is wonderful. That only the Krishna's mercy can do that. That we think the most important thing is economic development or this or that, but now we understand it's not to develop our material personality, but to develop our spiritual personality. So very good, thank you for that. Anybody else had some mercy of Krishna in your life today? Or yesterday? Yes? Yes?
Every morning we chant the holy name.
You chant the holy name in the morning.
Thinking of him is itself the mercy. Thinking of Krishna.
Thinking of Krishna is the mercy, yes. When you chant the holy name, thinking of Krishna while you chant is real mercy. That's also mercy. Thank you. Okay, anybody? Yeah? You got the mic here?
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Because of Krishna's mercy today, I got a chance to meet with you. I got lots of determination.
Oh, good. Today you got determination by Krishna's mercy. Very good. Very good. And by Krishna's mercy, I didn't have to be so determined to climb the stairs today. I got real mercy. Yeah, for a 62-year-old lady, it's not easy to climb the stairs. Mount Everest. Anybody else have some mercy today? Yes? Microphone?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Today, when I wake up early in the morning, then automatically I thought home that I have to serve Krishna anymore. And I was in Kalimantan out in Nayagi. And while I was coming from the temple, and while in front of that, I was thinking, then what to do? Then I was in Kalimantan, where to go? I had to go any variants of the temple. And finally, Mataji, with her body covered with her radiant Hare Krishna or something, and told me, can you show me the way to liberation? And finally, I get an answer. And I think I have to go now. This time, I'm here and I got the chance to meet Krishna Vishnu here.
Oh, very good. You made it to the temple. That was Krishna's mercy.
Yeah,
it's not easy because there's so many distractions that will say, no, no, come here, don't go to temple. You should go with me, you should go here, you should go there. Very good. So you got the mercy to come to the temple today. Very good. Okay, anybody else on this topic of mercy? Second question was, is there some mercy you are reluctant to accept? You don't want to accept. Any mercy, anybody here found something like that? Maybe you don't want to tell about that mercy. I said it's more personal. That is a personal type of mercy that we don't want to tell about. Okay, anybody? Brave soul. Yeah, I didn't want the mercy of climbing the stairs today. That was not the mercy I was reluctant to accept. Yes?
I would say that I would like to receive the mercy, but I think in terms of getting initiation, you know?
Getting initiation.
It's a big commitment, so sometimes I feel that I'm still not ready for that.
Okay. Yes, so sometimes you may feel I'm not ready for initiation yet. Yeah, it does. Many people, they take a long time for that. So it's, you have to feel, but also you can ask your guru if he feels you're ready too. So it's like two, the guru should be testing you and you should be seeing yourself also if you are ready. So you ask yourself that question and you see if you are ready. At the same time you can ask your guru, do you think, or I'm ready, or if you think not, then what do I need to do to become ready for initiation? Yeah, initiation is mercy. It is mercy of the guru. He will give initiation to you. Okay, so today the topic of Kunti's prayers is Krishna's appearance. Why Krishna appears? So the first verse, 32, some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. Others say he's born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. So now we're going to be hearing the names of some of the great devotees of Krishna. King Yadu was a king many millions of years ago, I would say. This history of Bhagavatam goes back millions and billions of years. And he was the oldest of five children of his father. And his father had a curse that he would become an old man. But if one of his sons will exchange his youth for his old age, then he could keep the youth for a long time. So first he asked Yadu, and Yadu said, refused. He said, no, I will not exchange my youth. So why did Yadu refuse? Because he knew that he had to get married and have children because Krishna is going to be born in his family. So therefore he refused on the grounds of his devotional service. So he was cursed by his father. The first four sons refused. They were all cursed that you will not become the king. Only the youngest son, Pudu, he agreed. So he became the next emperor of the world. He exchanged his youth for the father's old age. The father took it for 1,000 years, then he gave it back, and the youngest son became the king. So that's why the other dynasty, they did not become the emperors of the world. It was the Kuru dynasty that were the emperors at the time of Lord Krishna. But at the same time, the other dynasty is more glorified because Krishna appeared in that dynasty. Krishna is compared to the sandalwood, chandan. So Malaysia used to be called Malaya Hills. And it was famous because you would get chandan from Malaya or Malaysia. But now it's not famous anymore because instead of chandan, they are making rubber trees for tires, for cars. So now no more chandan there. But Krishna is just like chandan in the family of Yadu. He made the whole family very glorious. And why Krishna came in that family? Because he knew that Yadu is his great devotee and he wants to make Yadu famous as the family of Krishna, Yadu dynasty. So Krishna, he comes here because he loves his devotees. He wants to express his love for his devotees. So that's why he comes. So he came here just to glorify Yadu. That was one reason, of course. And it is described, Yadu Priyasya, that Yadu was very dear to Krishna. Why was Yadu very dear? Because he was doing devotional service to Krishna. So we should somehow or other try to become very dear to Krishna in our life. And then Krishna will also glorify us, because we like to glorify Krishna. But what does Krishna like to do? He likes to glorify his devotees. So we'll hear a little bit more about that in the next verse. And that is the prayer of Vasudeva and Devaki. Others say, since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. So Devaki, Vasudev, Yadu, they have one thing in common with Kunti. Can anybody tell me, if you think, there's Kunti, there's Yadu, there's Devaki, Vasudev, Yashoda, what do they all have in common? How are they the same in relation to Krishna? Vatsalya Ras, very good. They're all seeing Krishna like a son. Kunti is seeing Krishna like her nephew. Devaki and Vasudeva see as their son. And Yadu is like the great-great-grandfather of Krishna. So all of them are in the parental rasa with Krishna. So why Krishna comes? He comes to glorify his devotee. That's why we call Krishna Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana. And Krishna likes those names better than if you say Krishna. He likes Yashoda Nandana, Devaki Nandana, because his devotee's name is attached. That's why Lord Chaitanya, he prays, Ayi Nanda Tanuja, O son of Nanda, please pick me up from this ocean of birth and death. But at the same time, if you take all the names together, Yashoda Nandana, Devaki Nandana, you put them all together, you get Krishna, one name. So Krishna is the first, and from Krishna all the other names come. Krishna means all attractive. So Krishna attracts Yadu, he attracts Vasudeva, Devaki, and he comes to kill the demons. But Krishna likes to make his devotees more famous than him. He even likes his devotees to do something that he cannot do. So in the Ram Lila, this happened. Hanuman could do something that even Ram could not do. Anybody knows what Hanuman could do? That Ram could not do? Yes. Okay, yes, what else? Okay, he could get Sita. What else? Hanuman could jump. Ram had to go on the bridge. Ram couldn't fly like Hanuman. Hanuman, he just jumped to Lanka. He didn't need the bridge. But when Ram went, he didn't jump. He just had to go on the bridge. The bridge was very special, that we agree. That it was floating because of his name on the rocks. Even now, there is still one rock that's floating there. If you go down to Setubandha, there is still one floating rock. You can go and see it. The rest of the bridge is under the water, but if on the satellite picture, you can see the whole bridge by satellite. They have the satellite picture of the bridge from Tulanka. It's still there, but it's gone down. So, yes, so Krishna, Ram, they like to glorify their devotees. So Krishna, he made Arjuna do something that he didn't even do. What did Arjuna do? He fought. Yes, Krishna was just driving the chariot. Arjuna was the fighter of the battle of Kurukshetra. So although Krishna was God, he just wanted his devotee to be more glorious. So he was the driver only. Krishna was the driver. Arjuna was the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. Of course, Arjuna got bewildered and Krishna had to preach to him before the battle that you should go and fight. But actually, he did not take part in the battle. I mean, he did one time, he broke his promise. He ran after Bhishmadev with the chariot wheel. Other than that, he did not fight because Arjuna was in trouble. So then Krishna, he did break his promise not to fight. And Srila Prabhupada, also, he did something that even the Lord did not do. What did Prabhupada do? Huh? Yeah, he preached all over the world. Lord Chaitanya, he spread Sankirtan movement in India only. In India. But Prabhupada, he spread the holy name all over the world, every town and village of the world. So one time, Srila Prabhupada was walking in his morning walk at Vrindavan, and the devotee said to Prabhupada, "I think Lord Chaitanya left the whole world for you to preach." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, and for you also." So it's not like just Prabhupada did, and then we say, "Okay, now we enjoy." No, we also have to preach to everybody all over the world. Yes. So now we have our Russian devotees going to the temples all over, because we have so many devotees in Russia. They're going all over the world. So now we can send our Nepali devotees all over the world to preach. No, first you do something here, all over Nepal. After you make Nepal Krishna conscious, then you can start all over the world. Okay, so verse 34. So Krishna came to please Yadu, to answer the prayer of Devaki and Vasudev. And here is another reason why Krishna came, verse 34. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you. And so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. So imagine a boat with too many people. In India, you don't have to imagine. In Mayapur, you have this boat maybe from that side to this side, and maybe 6 feet back, and you have 50, 60, 70 people, 10 bicycles, 2 motorbikes, 1 cow, so many things on the boat. And it's overburdened. It's overburdened boat. So the earth was like this 5,000 years ago. It was like a boat overburdened at sea. So Lord Brahma went to pray, and he brought along the earth in the shape of a cow. And they prayed for Krishna to come, because Brahma couldn't handle it. He's the manager of the whole universe, but it was too much for him to handle. So when it becomes too much for Brahma, then he goes to Vishnu, and he prays for the incarnation, and Krishna came because of Brahma's prayers, and because there was a problem of overpopulation 5,000 years ago. Now, what kind of overpopulation was there 5,000 years ago? What is the real overpopulation? Who can tell me? Is it too many people? Yes.
Overpopulation of Kshatriyas.
Of Kshatriyas, okay. Overpopulation. What kind of Kshatriyas?
Sinful,
yes. When the population is too sinful, then the earth feels a burden. If the Kshatriyas are not sinful, then it's okay. But these Kshatriyas were actually demons who incarnated in Kshatriya families. And so it was a big problem for the earth, because they were just fighting with each other and destroying the earth. So Bali Maharaj also explained that, what is this overpopulation? Too many demons. Bali Maharaj, he says, on this earth there are many great mountains and oceans. that are very heavy. And Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them. But she feels very overburdened if she carries even one person who is a liar. Now in Kali Yuga, everybody's lying. So imagine how overburdened the Earth is feeling. So you can just imagine. Janaka Pandit gives the example, if you have one bad son, he's just like a cataract in your eye. The eye you cannot see and the eye is painful. So if the children are very naughty, the mother gets upset. So now, again, Dharma Siklani, people forget what is religion. Then God comes. In London, when Srila Prabhupada appeared, when he came to the airport in London, the reporters asked, why have you come here? And Prabhupada said, to teach you what you have forgotten, and that is God. So now, the same problem is there. There is an overburden of the earth of many sinful people. So Krishna has come. He has come in three different forms. Who can tell me one form that Krishna has come today? Holy name, very good. When you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that Krishna is here. His name is not different from him. If you chant, you get the immediate connection to Krishna and the whole spiritual world. So if you keep chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the whole world can change into Vaikuntha. Jai. So one time, my god sister, her name is Radha Kund, she was traveling on the train in India. This was some years ago, 2002. I just came to India and they were saying that there was going to be war between India and Pakistan at that year. And and she was on the train and all these soldiers were on the train from Indian soldiers going to north to fight. And it was in the paper and everybody was saying, oh, there's going to be war, there will be a big war. And my god sister, she was on the train, she was chanting Hare Krishna. 64 rounds she was chanting because nothing but to do on the train. So she was just chanting. And then one lady came and she sat across from her. And this lady was a psychic. She could see the future. And she said to my god sister, she asked, why are you chanting? She said, yes, because this is to purify the atmosphere. And this psychic lady said, yes, because of you, there won't be a war now between India and Pakistan, because your devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. And there was no war. The war was stopped. She said, yes, it's because of your devotees. And I just read on the internet, Indradyumna Swami, he quoted Srila Prabhupada that it will go down in history that in the darkest hour of this world, devotees will save the people of this world. So when Prabhupada was here, there was always talk of the Third World War. Russia and America were really in great, there was a Cold War. And the Russian missiles, they were off the shore of America. They were aimed to America, aimed to the big cities, submarines. So later on, when I was talking in class, some Russian devotees came and they said, yes, these submarines were there. But on the day, it was September 18, 1965, they got the order to go back. And that was the day Prabhupada arrived on America's soil. So we can see, we don't know what's happening, but this Russian, I've heard this from two or three different sources from Russian devotees that, yes, they were about to attack America. And when that day the Prabhupada appeared in Boston, that day they got the order to go back. So, and now we have so many Russian devotees. And also China also now coming, Chinese devotees. They have to be underground still, like the Russians used to be. But this chanting Hare Krishna can change the atmosphere of the whole earth. And we will hear more about this in the next few verses. How Krishna has come. Okay, that's one way. Hare Krishna mantra. What's another way, Krishna? Yes? Hmm? Prasadam. Oh. Very good. It's a secret weapon. people don't know when they eat the prasad how their minds will change. Yes, it's very special, spiritual food. Krishna has come as prasadam. How else does Krishna come? Chanting, we got devotees, very good. And spiritual master, and also Srimad Bhagavatam is an incarnation, a literary incarnation of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.
Not Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, Bhagavad Gita is also. Bhagavad Gita is his words. It's also his incarnation because it's his what he spoke. Yeah, so that is like mantra. Also Bhagavatam is like mantra too. They're two different, yeah, they're both Smriti actually. Smriti, because Bhagavad Gita is from Mahabharata and Bhagavatam is Purana. So they're in the category of Smriti. Mm-hmm. Yes. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, both. So the next verse. Others say, you have appeared to rejuvenate devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So this is an important reason that Krishna has come even today, that Kunti is saying, that you have appeared to give us devotional service. Krishna came, he gave us Bhagavad Gita, which explains how to do service to him. He came again 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya to show how to do devotional service by chanting the holy name, by hearing, chanting, worshipping, serving. So this verse explains the struggle for existence that people, not only the poor people, the rich people are also suffering. They are suffering the same problems as the poor people. They have no spiritual food. They don't have the spiritual food. They may have all the material food, but they don't have the food for the soul. So they are also suffering. They also need help. They also need to know how to worship Krishna. Because again, they'll may be rich in this life, next life they may come as a poor man. So the solution is not to become rich. The solution is to get a spiritual body and never take birth again. When the devotee has their birthday, we say, may you never take birth again. And we sing that. So, yes. No, don't take birth again. That is our goal. Spiritual life. So why are people struggling? Bhavesmin klishyamananam. So many problems. Because of avidya. Because of ignorance. Now, what is the ignorance? The ignorance is, because of ignorance, they think, oh yeah, my goal is money, my goal is this, my goal is that, enjoy in this world, therefore kama. They have material desires. Kama, karma be. Then if you have desire, then karma, you have to work hard to fulfill your desires. Today, I was reading what my son wrote on Facebook. He said, I need to get out of the cycle of spending and then working. This is the American life. First you spend, then you have to work and pay for it. So he spent a lot of money, and now he has to work. But he gets more money, and then he spends it, and then he has to work more. So it's never-ending cycle. He's realized it's a cycle. Credit card, they give you the credit card. Oh, don't worry, you just enjoy now and pay later. But when later comes, then you don't enjoy anymore. Well, this is a problem. The American dream. Yes, it's a dream. It's not real. It's not reality. This is the dream. Then you don't have money, then you become bankrupt, and then they take away everything, and then, oh, what to do. So, this is the struggle for existence. And who wins the struggle? Nobody wins. Nobody. Who wins this survival? The struggle for survival. Yes. What is that? Darwin, he says there's survival of the fittest. So who is fit? Who survives? Does anybody survive? No. Death rate is 100%. Whether you're in India or you're in America, death rate is the same. One time Prabhupada said, oh, the death rate in India is so high. He said, what's the death rate in America? 100%. Same. Nobody escapes death. It's the same death rate everywhere. But one time in England, the doctors went on strike for 1 month, and the death rate went down 30% that month in England. So, what to do? It must mean something. I don't know what it means, but I won't comment on that. So, here we have the struggle for existence. So Krishna comes to help us, to get us out of the struggle for existence. You just surrender to me. This is Krishna's mercy. He says, you actually, Prabhupada translated one, he says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, give up all varieties of religion, just surrender to me. And sometimes Prabhupada says, you rascal, give up your nonsense and surrender to me. But he says different things. You know, if you want protection, give up all your concocted ideas of protection and surrender to me. That is Krishna's mercy. So Kunti says, you've come to teach rascals who are working hard and laboring under the burden of self-created work to engage them in hearing, chanting, remembering. So it's a very simple, even a child can chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said in one of his lectures that even a child can take part in this process, or even a dog can take part in it. And I saw one dog in Russia when I was traveling. And he was a really very special dog. He wasn't chanting, but we were in this camp for 1 week. And in this camp was in a big park. And in the park there were lots of dogs. Now most of the dogs were doing what dogs do. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But this dog would come at Mangalarti time. And there were like 100 pairs of shoes. He would do his offer obeisance, how dogs do, you know, like this, on the shoes. Come to Mangalarti, and we would do the Harinam. He would come in the park following the Harinam, and the other dogs would just bark. He didn't care. He would just come with the devotees. Very special dog. There was also one cow in Malaysia who used to come for Bhagavatam class and sit with the Mataji's side and listen to the class. And there is one bull in Orissa who would come and sit on the Prabhuji's side for Bhagavat Sapta. And he knew every morning and evening he would come at the right time, sit for the lecture, and go home. And then the next year they had the Bhagavat Sapta. Everybody was wondering, is this bull going to come? Nobody told him. He came. He came the second year for Bhagavat Sapta. He sat morning and night. He came at the right time. And he came. So there are some animals who are also Krishna conscious. If any devotees in the West, devotees have cats and dogs, I must tell you, some of them. But those cats and dogs are very special. In Alachua Temple, there is one cat. Her name is Rasleela. She's 19 years old now. And when she first came, they got one dog to help with the carry. This dog is also very special. He would help to bring the cows back home. He will take the rope from the cow and lead them back to their pasture. So one day, when the dog first came, he started chasing the cat. So the cat was very smart, and she went inside the temple, inside the deity room, and she sat inside the deity room, and the dog didn't touch her. Respected the deity. So these animals are very special, who are in the farms of the devotees. The cows, the dogs, the cats, they're all very special animals. Actually, they were devotees in their last life who made some offense to the other devotees or to the deities. And this life, they get a chance. Because an animal, he cannot make any offense. In Vrindavan, all the animals are devotees last life, Prabhupada said. They made some offense in Vrindavan Dham. The hogs, the monkeys, the dogs. And now this is their last life, and they will go back to Godhead. So this is, devotional service is very nice. Even if you cannot chant, you can just come and look at the deities and appreciate how nicely they're dressed, and you will make some advancement. So then verse 36 explains about chanting, hearing, Shinvantikayanti Giranta Vikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Jana Teva Pashyanti Achirena Tavakam Bhavaparvako Paramam Padam Pujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, Certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So first hearing Shinvanti, we hear the philosophy, we chant, and then we chant the holy name. And after hearing, chanting, accepting, yes, Krishna, please let me do some service. Chanting means that we are asking the Lord, please accept me. Please accept me as your devotee. So I'd like to read a verse. Oh, actually, before I read the verse, I'll tell you what happens a little bit when you chant the holy name. Inside your heart, there is a seed. And when you first hear about Krishna, there's a seed planted in your heart. There's a little garden there. So there's a seed of bhakti. And when you chant and hear, the seed grows into a plant. And the more you hear and chant, it's like the water for your plant. So that's what the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. And then this creeper, this plant grows, and it pierces this universe, goes past the light, the Brahman, goes past the Vaikuntha planets, it goes to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, and then flowers and fruits come from the plant. The flower is Krishna Prema, love of Godhead. The fruits, love of Godhead. So when the fruits come, what do you do with the fruits?
Pick them up.
And? Offer them to Krishna. Okay, very good. You're all devotees. And after you offer them to Krishna? We take prasadam. And? Distribute prasadam. Very good. Very good. So Lord Chaitanya, he says, I am a gardener. And I am the gardener, and he's also the tree of devotional service. And he says, and I'm taking all these fruits, I'm eating, but how many fruits can I enjoy? So therefore, he says, I give the order for all of you who are on this tree of Lord Chaitanya. All of you should eat the fruits and distribute the fruits to everyone. Because if you don't taste, then how will you distribute also? So you say, have you tasted? Sometimes devotees would distribute Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada would say, have you read the books also? You should read the books. And people will ask, oh, you're selling me this book. Have you read the book? And if you say, oh no, I just sell the book. No, then what the people will say, what will they think? Well, if you don't read, why should I read the book? You know, if you're not reading. If you don't think it's a good book, why should I bother to spend my time reading the book? We also have to read the books. We also have to taste the fruits of chanting Hare Krishna. And then other people would also benefit. I'll just read you something from the Purana. If someone, somehow or other, one chants Krishna's holy name, Krishna is attracted to him, and he showers him with causeless mercy. Even a ghostly haunted drunkard, miserably suffering numerous health disorders, simply chants the holy name. Liberation is immediately within his easy reach. So therefore, you should try to get everybody to at least say Hare Krishna. So if your family members say Hare Krishna, that means they will get liberation also. Yes. So continuously, here Kunti is saying, continuously I should chant. Not, okay, today I chant, tomorrow no time. And we have a certain number of rounds. We chant 16 rounds. Some of you may chant 10 rounds or 14 rounds or 4 rounds, whatever you chant. But you should do it every day. If you don't chant every day, then it's like you're missing your meeting with Krishna. Like many of you are students. So suppose one day you don't go to school. That means you're missing your class. You're missing your meeting with your teacher. So one day, if you don't chant your rounds, you're missing your meeting with Krishna. He's waiting for you. Oh, I'm waiting. He's waiting. Are you going to chant and talk to me today? You're going to talk to me with the holy name? Yes, I'm waiting. Your teacher is waiting for you in your class, so Krishna is waiting for you to chant your Hare Krishna so he can meet with you. That is our quality time with Krishna. So we should always make sure we meet Krishna every day with our chanting. So if you also feel pleasure, if you see other people chanting, that's also mentioned in this verse. So to see Krishna, Prabhupada says, we have to change our vision. And our vision is changed by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Very difficult to see Krishna, but if Krishna is satisfied with your service, then you can see him. Like some people, they will say, show me God. So that's the same thing like at nighttime, somebody says, show me the sun. Will the sun come for you at nighttime? Come here, I want to see the sun. Oh, why should God come? If you say, come here, I want to see you. Why should he come? Who are you that you have to see him? No, first you develop love, and then he will show himself. Just like the sun. The sun will rise itself when he wants to. So God, Krishna, he will show himself to you when he's pleased with your chanting, when he's pleased with your service. So when will you see Krishna? Kunti says, Achirena, very soon, not millions of years. If you're very serious, you can see in 1 minute, in 1 second. Or it may take you millions of births. How determined, how serious you are, that will determine how soon you meet Krishna or see him. Chanting, hearing, all these things are like a river, and that will bring you to Krishna's lotus feet. So that's what Kunti is saying. There's another river going in this material world that is goodness, passion, and ignorance, modes of nature. So everybody is going on that river, most people. But we want to go on another river, and that is the spiritual river, back to Godhead. So this river is Srinvanti Gayanti, hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, and pleasing Krishna. And then we can go back to Godhead. So, your homework question for today. Every day you have some homework. Now today your homework is, now most of you are doing some service for Krishna, like chanting or something. So today I want you to, tonight, tomorrow, I want you to notice, am I doing this to please Krishna? Am I chanting for some other reason? Or am I chanting to please Krishna? So be very introspective tomorrow. All of your activities, what you're doing, I want to do this just to make Krishna happy. I want to please Krishna now with this chanting. So see if how your chanting will change. If you have this, okay, Krishna, this is for you. I'm chanting just to make you happy. It's a whole different mood. Sometimes we're chanting, please, we have some prayer, please accept me. Get me out of this material ocean. This time, we're going to just say, please, I want to make you happy. That's why I'm doing this service for you. Okay, so you see, you can watch and see how many things you are doing in your day for Krishna, and how many times you are thinking, okay, this is just a duty. You don't even think you're just doing it. No, we want you to think now, okay, I want to make Krishna happy. I want to love Krishna. That's why I'm doing this service. So that's your homework, your last homework. Our first day, we were seeing Krishna in our life. And the second day, we were seeing Krishna's protection. And yesterday, the homework was Krishna's mercy. Now today, we are going to see how we're going to do the other way around. We were waiting for Krishna the other days. Now today, we want to go to Krishna. We want to please him. We want to do something for him. Not how he is doing something for us. So we're changing our attitude today. Our homework is going to be, how can I please you, Krishna? That is a different attitude. So our last verse, 37. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us? Now when all kings are at enmity with us? So Kunti is making her request. Finally, he's saying, Krishna, please don't leave us. Now you think we are okay. We have no problem. We won the battle of Kurukshetra. Everybody's dead. But no, there's so many other kings and they're all our enemies because we killed everyone. We're responsible for this battle. Now everybody is going to be our enemy, and now you're leaving us? You think we don't need your protection? No, we need your protection more now. So again, she is thinking that all this distress, this was good. When we had nothing, you were with us. Now we have everything, you're leaving us. So better we have nothing. Better we are a kinchana. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck, they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. So we here in this world, most of you are students, you're dependent on your teachers for your grades. Some of you are working, you're dependent on your bosses for your pay. Some of you have your own business, you're dependent on the customers for your business. So everybody is dependent here in this world on somebody else. But if you're dependent on Krishna, then you are very fortunate. You are the most fortunate. Material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But the highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor. Valor means courage. But at the same time, depend completely on the Lord. So the Pandavas, they worked very hard. They didn't just think, okay, Krishna's my friend. I don't have to do anything. Let the mercy fall on my head. No. Arjuna fought the battle of Kurukshetra. Yudhisthira had to take care of the whole kingdom. He had to become the emperor of the world. So Prabhupada said they were completely dependent on Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. You know what a parasite is? Doctor said, I have a parasite. That means something that's in your body that's eating everything and you don't get it. They get your food, the parasites. So if somebody in the society who just eats and doesn't work, that's a parasite. So devotees, sometimes they think devotees are like this, but no, devotees are doing their work. And they're doing better work because they're helping people spiritually, which is the permanent solution to the problems of life. So now, a very interesting statement here. Work with courage and depend on Krishna. So some people think, well, if I work hard, then everything depends on me. And some people think, well, no, I should not work. I'll just take all the mercy and Krishna will do everything. So both of them are wrong. You have to have both together. So there is one Christian saint. He said something very nice. He said, when we pray, that means when we chant, we should pray as if everything depends on the Lord. So morning time we chant our rounds and help me, Krishna. Yes, please accept me. Of course, tomorrow we're going to chant for His pleasure. But usually we chant because we're asking for something. And we're trying to get mercy from the Lord. So we pray as if everything depends on the Lord and work as if everything depends on you. So, in Gita, Krishna explains, you do your work. You work very hard, but the result is not up to you. The result is up to Krishna. So that is the point. The result of your work does not depend on you. It depends on Krishna. And you see, somebody may work very, very hard. Another person doesn't work hard. But the one who works very hard, he won't get any result. And some who doesn't hardly work, he gets a big result. That means the result is not dependent on you. But as devotees, we should work very hard. And we were working with Srila Prabhupada. I used to sleep 4 hours a night and work 20 hours when I was in Calcutta Temple. And many devotees were like that. They were just sleeping 4 hours and working 20 hours. And because we understood we have to work very hard for Krishna. We have to work. Prabhupada was also like that. He was sleeping 10 o'clock at night, getting up 1 o'clock at night and translating his books. So he was sleeping like 2-3 hours every night. He was working harder than all of us. So we work very hard, but at the same time, we feel that the result depends on Krishna. So we depend on Him for the result. So these Pandavas, they were all Mahatmas. They were a family of Mahatmas. What does it mean? And they were all married people. They were Kshatriyas. They had their wives. They had their children. So how can a married person be a Mahatma? Rishabdev explains, who is a Grihastha Mahatma? That they want to revive their Krishna consciousness, increase their love of God, They're not interested in this social life of people who just want to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Not attached to their homes, although they have homes. They're not attached to wives, children, friends, wealth, but they're not indifferent also. They are very loving to their family. They do their duties, but they worship Krishna at the same time. So the main thing is that Krishna is the center. We have 12 Mahajans, great souls, in this universe. Out of those 12 Mahajans, 7 are married. Lord Brahma, Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, they're married people. And 5 were Brahmachari, Narada Muni, 4 Kumaras. They were Brahmachari. Lord Chaitanya, we have our Pancha Tattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivas, Adigaur, Bhaktivinoda. Out of those 5, 4 were married. Only Gadadhar was sannyas. Of course, afterwards, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. But they were all married. So Prabhupada, he one time said that my spiritual master, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta, sent brahmacharis and sannyasis to preach. I sent married people, grihastas, to preach. In London, he sent 3 grihastas, that Shyam Sundar Malati, Gurudas, and Yamuna, and one more couple, I can't remember their name. Maybe Tamal, Gurudas and Jamuna, Mukunda and Janaki. Yeah, Mukunda. But we need all the classes of people. We need brahmacharis as well. So we need people who are renounced, and the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they will be very rare people who are brahmachari their whole life. Most of them will be married. But the married people can also be Krishna conscious. They can also be preachers. In our movement, everyone is accepted as a preacher. In the other movements, in the yoga, Ashtanga yoga, in the Dhyana path, the Mayavadi path, for the Mayavadis, first you have to take sannyas, then you can preach, then you are accepted. But only in this path of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, everyone is accepted as a devotee of Krishna. Even the children are accepted. If you go to Bengal, you'll see whole families, grandmothers, mothers, fathers, small children with their bead bags coming to Mayapur temple and chanting Hare Krishna. So this is for everyone, this movement. So now Kunti, she's glorifying chanting, hearing, and finally she's giving reasons why Krishna should not leave. That we are your friends, we are living by your mercy, how can you leave us? And so Krishna is so attractive that nobody, once you get a taste, you cannot forget. You cannot forget. Once you taste the chanting of Hare Krishna, it's very difficult to go away and go back to material life. It won't be the same. It's not the same. So therefore, we must try to chant as best we can, depend on Krishna, and try to attract the attention of Krishna by our chanting. So Prabhupada said in this purport, it is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition, and the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord, thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then he can open the doors of the prison and let us out, and we can go to the spiritual world. So any questions on today's class? So the homework is how to please Krishna. So now we're having a different type of homework. We want to please Krishna tomorrow, somehow by our chanting or by whatever we do for him. And that mentality, do it as an offering for him, to make him happy. You chant as if he's sitting in front of you and listening to your chant. Every syllable. He's listening to you tomorrow. He's always listening, but today, tomorrow, we're going to be conscious of it. Any questions? Yes? Mike?
If a person is a millionaire, doesn't worship Krishna but serve the poor people, is he called a direct devotee or undead?
If a person is a millionaire and doesn't serve Lord Krishna but serves the poor people, is he called a devotee or mundane? Yes. Okay, well, we will say it's a pious activity for a millionaire to serve the poor people. It's pious. It means his next life he may not be poor, but it is material, because he's doing a material service. He's doing a service for the body of the people. He's not doing a service for the soul. So just like one time somebody was drowning in a river, and so a man jumped, "Oh, I'll save him. So he went in and he grabbed the shirt and he came out and, "See, I saved him. I got the shirt." No. So the body is like a shirt. So when you feed the body, you're feeding the shirt. But we also do that. We feed the soul at the same time. We have our Food for Life program and Bhutanikanta for the school children. But we give them prasad. We feed the soul. So the millionaire, if he's also worshipping, if he's not a devotee, then he will be under the laws of karma. And if he has, mostly the millionaires, they get their money by sinful means. So he will be punished for that. He may be a cockroach in his house next life, but he won't be hungry because he fed the poor. He will get lots of food to eat as a cockroach. But he may not be in the human form of life. Yes, if you do, this is a fact. If you feed people, you will not be hungry in your next life. But you may not be in the human form of life. You may be a very rich dog in Sweden and get lots of nice food from your master. This may happen. That it will not save you from the laws of nature. Laws of nature are very strict. You cannot get out of the laws of nature. Only if you surrender to Krishna, you do something spiritual, then you're guaranteed a human form of life in your next life. Otherwise, the millionaire may become a beggar in his next life. We cannot say. It is not up to us. It is up to the laws of nature. But sometimes the rich people also give donations to devotees, so that will help them. That will also help them. They become life members. When Prabhupada was preaching in Gorakhpur, he was talking about the Yamadutas, that anyone who is in the... there is one verse that if you are following the materialistic life, then you must go down to hell, and Yamadutas will come for you. So Prabhupada said, so Yamaraj says, bring to me all those sinful people who don't chant Hare Krishna, who don't serve the devotees, bring those people to me, who don't wear Kunti Mala. So then Prabhupada said in his preaching, yes, and bring to me all those people who don't become life members of ISKCON. And so everybody had to become life members of ISKCON. He's preaching to the Indians, the rich ones. They understood that. So, yeah, if they, and they were still on their deathbed, they were signing the form, some of them. So, yes, no, without the spiritual mercy, the prison is there. This is the prison. You can't get out. The laws are very strict. There's a verse in 7th chapter of Gita, Daiviyesha Gunamayi, Mama Maya Duratya, Mam Eviye Prabhadyante, Maya Metam Tarantite. This ocean of material life made of the modes, you cannot get out. But if you surrender to me, you'll easily go out. Krishna says, Saradharma Pritaja Mamikam Sharanam Vrajara Hang Tong Sarapape Pyo Moksha Ishami Mashicha. If you surrender to me, I will take away all your sinful reactions. Do not fear. So the rich man, he may be very wonderful. You can go and surrender to the rich man and he'll say, yes, yes, don't worry, I'll take care of you. But he cannot take you out of this material ocean and give you spiritual body. He can save your shirt. He can save your... But at the time of death, then, you know, then you say, okay, well, he gave me some meals, but now what? Now what? Now what? How will he help me? How will the rich man... How will the millionaire help you at the time of death? Even he needs help at that time. He doesn't know where he's going. If he's a devotee, then very... If he's a devotee, we do have millionaire devotees. Alfred Ford, and he's donating to build a temple in Mayapur. And he donated for different... He bought the temple in Detroit. It was amazing because Alfred Ford, he's the great-grandson of Ford. And then we had another devotee, Lekha Shervanti. She is the granddaughter of Walter Reuther, who was the labor leader who was fighting with Ford their whole lives. They were enemies, Ford and Reuther. So together, they both donated to buy the temple. The granddaughter and the grandson together bought the temple in Detroit, where their fathers were fighting each other as enemies their whole lives. But the two, daughters and son of the rich families, they both became devotees. And then they put the money together. And so only Krishna consciousness can bring the labor and the management together, actually. So that's an example there that they both became devotees. And so somehow those two families were united in the cause of Krishna consciousness. The labor and management are always fighting, strikes and this and that. But here, they came together. Only on the spiritual platform can there be united. Any other questions? Thank you for your very intelligent questions.
How important is Krishna consciousness in political life today?
How important is Krishna consciousness in political life today?
The leaders, they lead the nation. If they don't have consciousness, then they always...
It's a problem. In Kali Yuga, there is a prediction that in Kali Yuga, the leaders will be dasyu, which means thieves. And we see that the taxes are increasing. They want to take more from the people. So it's very, very important. In America, our devotees are, some of them are running for now Congress and things. And what they say, the first thing they will do when they become elected to the Senate in America, to the House, they will close the liquor in the Senate. In the Assembly House, they will close the bar so nobody can drink while they're making the laws of the country. How can you drink and pass laws? How can, you know, so this is the problem, that the people who are being elected, even in the democracies, they are of the lowest class. How can you be, you have to be sober to make the laws of the country. And so this is what the devotee, they're running, said, we will close the bar in the Senate, in the House, so that at least our leaders are not drinking while they're making the laws. Anyway, yes. It's important, but it's not easy to happen overnight. First the people have to become Krishna conscious, and then it can happen, yes.
Nowadays, in Nepal, so people keep cat and dog.
Yes.
Is this
in Nepal also?
Nepal also. What this process would affect them or not? Is it good?
Well, is it good to keep cats and dogs? If you're a devotee, it's good. If you're not a devotee, it's not good, because you get attached to the cat or dog, and next life you become a cat or dog. This is the problem. Don't go get a cat and dog now, because I said devotees' cats and dogs are nice. That doesn't mean you should go and get a cat and dog. Yes, no. We keep dogs outside the house. We don't keep them in the house. They don't belong in the house. The dog should stay outside. In farm communities, then you can have these things. But in the house is not good. Sometimes you need, like in countries like Malaysia, I think you need dogs to protect yourself because of the thieves and things. So in that case, it's different. But as a pet, it's not a good idea. Because they're dirty. They're not so clean. And then if you get attached, next life, you become... Some people, they leave their inheritance to the dog in the West. I went to Toronto. It's too amazing. They have spas. Spa for dogs, cats. You know, manicure, pedicure, massage for the animals. They even have schools for the dogs. Dog school. When I was in Toronto going for Rath Yatra, we saw this sign in the park. School for dogs. And one Indian person, there were some Indians with me from India in Toronto, Canada. They were going to Rath Yatra, and one man said, "In my village, even the people don't go to school, but here the dogs go to school." So it was, you know, it's so amazing. Yeah, I really. They have spas. They have where you know, like spa where you go for the health care and massage and yoga for dogs. I couldn't believe it. Because I'm in India for 37 years, and when I went to the West, I thought, oh my God, dog sitters, cat sitters instead of babysitters. They come and stay in your house and watch your dog and cat. Yeah, it's really, the dogs are like kings, actually. Yeah, it's really a fact. There's no school in India, there's school for the dogs. Yeah. No, don't go get a cat and dog. And also, if you have your exams now, make sure you study for your exams and chant, but you can still chant as many rounds. Don't increase your rounds, just chant as many rounds as you're used to chant. Because I made a statement the other day about two students, and one girl said she's going to chant 64 rounds and don't study. I said, no, don't do that. You study for your exams. Yes? Yeah, red.
Red. She was scared of the rat, and rat was scared of her. So the rat, someone ran towards the main road.
Oh.
And somehow the car came and just hit the rat at the
door. Uh-huh. Okay, so she's scared. She saw a rat. The rat got scared of her, ran into the road, and got ran over by a car. No, you don't have to bear the sin. That is the karma of the rat. It's not your fault that the rat got run over by the car. It's not your fault. Don't worry about that. It was his time. It was his time to die. Now, if you run over the rat, that's another thing. If you're in the car and you run over the rat, then might be something there. Yes? What's your question? Other microphone.
Actually, like, we are here by the mercy of devotees and Guru and Krishna. But nobody forced us, and actually by our free will.
That's right.
We are continuing our devotional service now. But in the due course of serving, sometimes knowingly or unknowingly, we will not be able to communicate or will not be able to please each and every devotee.
Right.
And some devotees from here or there, they will be hurted. And they will not express, but we can feel that something we are not really happy. And so you are giving the homework and question that Krishna, yesterday was a class of like Krishna was merciful, the feeling of the mercy. Mm-hmm. And today, like, the, how every time we are trying, we are thinking first before that we are trying to please Guru and Krishna and devotees.
Mm-hmm.
And but when we serve, but we forget these things, and sometimes we get the same gratification. Oh, I am doing, I must do it, like, it's my responsibility. And sometimes, sometimes right way or wrong way, but I learned from the Bhakti Tirtha Malas that we should not, if somebody is misbehaving us, this is the mistake of ourselves. Like, but how can we face in that situation and behave with the devotees and act in that situation and learn the lesson?
If somebody is misbehaving with you?
Misbehaving, or like sometimes we hurt devotees unknowingly.
Okay.
And if they are feeling something bad, then when we chant, when we do our service, we also doesn't feel good.
Mm.
So in those situations, how can we act?
Okay.
How can we feel?
Okay, well, how to act if you feel that somebody is offended? Now, you can't please everyone in this world. There will always be someone. Like I just read on the about Satsarup Maharaj, that one country says they don't want him to come there. They're not so, they don't appreciate so much. So then his friend told him, don't worry, not, you cannot please everyone in this world. So some people will always find some fault. So it's not that you can please everyone. But when you, before you do your service, you can say, please forgive any offenses I've done. to anyone, please forgive me. If you are conscious of the offense, you can go to the person and beg forgiveness. But if you're not conscious, if you don't know what's the problem, then you just can say a general prayer. Please forgive me for any offenses which I may have done to anyone like that.
Next question is that, like, how can we, sometimes there is like misunderstanding or misbehaving, you know, like, and Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was saying that it's our mistake, if somebody misbehaves us. So how can we be conscious of those things and how can we be aware?
Okay, how can we be aware of our mistakes? Usually devotees will tell you what your mistakes are. You don't have to worry about that. In your family, if you're living in a family, your mother and father will tell you, your brothers and sisters will say, oh, you're doing this. So living with devotees is like living in a family. They will tell you your mistakes. You don't have to look very far. It's like a big family. So because we are so close together, then it will be just like that. Your mother, your father, your brother and sister, they will tell you this thing. So if a lot of people tell you the same mistake, then you should take it seriously. Like if, like, you know, like 4, 5, 6 people say, you know, you talk too much, then you can take that seriously. Or if it's just one person, then you say, okay, please excuse me. But if you see a lot of people saying the same thing, then you can, oh, maybe I talk too much. Maybe I should try to talk more about Krishna. Talk too much means about yourself and about your service. So I should try to talk more about Krishna and more be a good listener. Try to be a good listener. That's just one example. One example of something. That's not a big mistake. It's just something that people do sometimes.
Sometimes the communication gap, and sometimes it takes time to explain the things.
Right.
So in those cases, like, sometimes it becomes misunderstanding.
Right.
And it's very normal for human being, for us, like, to conquer and think in our own way.
Right.
And how can we protect ourselves, though we cannot, how can we save ourselves and in our feelings and in our way?
You can pray for the, if you have some misunderstanding, you pray for the other person, for their best welfare. You pray to the Lord in their heart, you please help this person. You pray for the best thing, and that will go to them. They will get that message. If you have their best, if you're feeling love for them, even if there's misunderstanding, that person will feel that love. You pray, please help Krishna, please have mercy for this person, please help him in this.
Thank you.
Yes? Oh, okay. Yes, you have something? And then back to her.
Hare Krishna Mataji, how to overcome mental offenses to devotees and deities?
How to overcome mental offenses? Worship Tulsi Devi. It's described in, for deity worship, you can chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita or worship Tulsi Devi. And this is for mental offense and for worship deity offense. Worshipping Tulsi plant every day or chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, you had a question back there?
Authority has one interest, and we have one interest, and we are finding it very difficult to follow instructions.
Authority has one interest, you have another interest. Yeah, that happens usually with authorities. The authorities are seeing a different vision, and you are seeing a different vision, and so it's good to, well, you probably have to compromise. You have to give something, and the authority also needs to also understand. You need to understand each other and your needs. Try to understand the needs of the authority, and the authority should understand your needs as well. And you do have needs, and your needs have to be met. And working within that, your needs and the needs of the authority, then somehow you can reach a compromise. There's something called conflict resolution, where you
each come up with ideas of what can be the solution or what can be done, and then you have your ideas, he has his ideas, and then both of you circle which ideas are agreeable to you. You circle what ones on his side, he circles the ones on your side, and then you work this conflict resolution. Any other questions? We have lots of prasadam here. I hope there's enough people here to eat it. Any other questions? Okay, all glories to Shiva Prabhupada.